You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, folks, I don't even know what to say about that. The Rockets somehow inexplicably 110-107 losers in a mammoth Game 5 in San Antonio. So many angles to break down. I'll try and do it here. This is our post-game show, Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And guys, I don't even know what to tell you. Kawhi Leonard was out injured, did not play down the stretch of the fourth quarter or at all in overtime. The Rockets seemed to have every advantage, yet scored just 16 points in the fourth quarter, only 6 in overtime. To put it in more perspective, Lou Williams hit a layup with 5:56 left in the game. Let's call it 6 minutes left, and the Rockets went up 94-91. In the next 11 minutes, with everyone playing, the Rockets scored 13 points. 13 points in almost a full quarter of basketball, the most meaningful basketball of the entire season, with your entire starting lineup essentially playing. That's just absolutely stunning. And I know James Harden's going to get a lot of the blame, and he deserves it. Certainly, there were far too many possessions where he waited until under 5 seconds. He boxed himself in, and maybe he was tired overall. I know his stat line was still pretty good. He was brilliant in the first half of the game. That's why the Rockets were actually up at the half and in position, despite the Spurs shooting really well out of the jump, to give the Rockets a shot to win this game. Overall, James was still good. 33 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. But this felt like a Russell Westbrook round one performance, because when it mattered, he just was not there. And the killer was that so much was self-inflicted. It'd be one thing if the Rockets were getting their shots and they missed them, which it felt like for a lot of this game. When it mattered, the Rockets weren't getting their shots. They were waiting until 4 or 5 seconds to even initiate the offense, which you box yourself in when you do that. A lot of folks are going to point to, you know, the big play by Manu Ginobili to end overtime when he blocked Harden's three. Well, really, when you're playing the clock, it's not that hard to block a three, because you know the player is committed to shooting. It's not like he can pull it back or pass, because time's running out, so you know he is fully committed to that shot. And that play at the end of regulation, or at the end of overtime, excuse me, after that jump ball when the Rockets got it down three in the final seconds, that was really a microcosm of everything that happened in the final 3 minutes of regulation and all of overtime. The Rockets, James Harden notably, because he's the point guard, played the clock, they boxed themselves in, and so they made the defense incredibly easy, because by the time he made his move, even if the Spurs did have to commit a second defender, well, there wasn't time for the Rockets to get any other action on that play. And this is a theme I've hit on before this year. If you're new to Locked On Rockets, one of the things that I've discussed a lot over the course of the year, because the Rockets have not been a great clutch team in terms of close and late execution, we can all say it's a small sample size, but in reality, over the balance of the year, they have not been good, and neither has James Harden. And the biggest reason for that, there's always this delicate balance between maintaining the principles of Mike D'Antoni basketball, the pace they play with when they are at their best, and that's especially the case in this series, with the normal tendency late in the fourth quarter in the NBA to play hero ball, to play the clock, to essentially use up that full 24, get everyone rested, and then just make that dagger shot as the shot clock expires. That's the NBA tendency. Sometimes it works out, but it doesn't make it a good strategy, and it's especially not a good strategy when you have the system that the Rockets do, which is so conditional on playing with pace. Because really, Kawhi Leonard's absence ended up not even really mattering, because the Rockets played the Spurs game anyway. If you want to make the absence of Kawhi Leonard, a guy who can make plays on both ends, especially in terms of transition defense ability, you know, I think back to that close game in March that the Rockets lost in San Antonio when Leonard had that flying block in the final seconds against Harden. Now, there was a foul on David Lee before that, still an incredible play by Kawhi, and let's give him credit for it. That's the one advantage the Spurs have. Without him in the game, you should be able to get up and down the court. They don't have a rim protector, and that the Rockets were very content to just milk the clock. And I know there were a lot of fatigue lags, truly a 7-man rotation tonight. And I'm not exaggerating at all. Literally no one other than the starters, plus Ryan Anderson and Lou Williams off the bench, Eric Gordon starting in place of Ryan Anderson this game. Even got a minute. Seven-man rotation for 53 minutes. You want to say the Rockets are gassed? That's fine. But Mike D'Antoni, James Harden, the leaders of the team, it is their job to do something about it. I forgot who it was. Someone on my timeline tweeted with about 3 minutes left in overtime that Sam Decker could go in and drop 20 points right now. That's how tired both teams were. And if that's the case, then adjust. And if Harden's the one that's gassed, well, give the ball to Eric Gordon, Pat Beverly, or hell, bring in Bobby Brown. We saw Bobby Brown the other night throwing 11 points in 6 minutes. I'm only half kidding when I say that. The point is, when you have a game that is that in your control, really, the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard, they did not have any real sign of offense. They didn't really get much offense. Truly, Danny Green had a big three with under a minute left in overtime, but generally, other than that, it was a slugfest for them as well. When you don't have anyone on the other team that can create their own shots, the Rockets' energy, I thought, was fantastic all night long. They competed on the glass, actually 52-47. They held their own there, thought their energy, they were flying around. It was the most aggressive I've seen them play all year long. And so to lose a game with that advantage and no Kawhi Leonard down the stretch, that is inexcusable. It comes down to putting the ball in the basket. And for a team that is dependent on offense to be that bad, it's just downright inexcusable. And if it's the seven-man rotation, if they're that tired, then yeah, adjust. That's your job. I don't care if it's Sam Decker, Bobby Brown. Hell, throw in Kyle Wiltshire or Troy Williams. I don't even know 100% who was active tonight. But any of those bodies off the bench, if James Harden and the guys on the court at the end of that game were so tired that that's all they were capable of giving you, then adjust. You have to play that game like your life depends on it. Because tied at two, best of three series, you have to win one game in San Antonio, game five or game seven. And yes, they can win a game seven. That's part of what's frustrating. This is there for the taking. They can still win this series. But you are up 3 points with under, actually up 5 points, excuse me, had a 5-point lead with under three to go before Patty Mills had a very tough three with a couple of minutes left. But you have that kind of advantage and you can't get that game. Folks, I don't care who you have to turn to. They are all professional athletes. And if you want to say that they're tired, that's the best excuse I can come up with, because it was all inexplicable. I don't think it was all a tendency to play hero ball. I think they're out of gas. A seven-man rotation is tough, especially if you play 53 minutes. Well, Mike D'Antoni, James Harden, it's reality check time. If those guys are too tired to play, then they need to say something to the coach. And, well, if they're too prideful to say it to the coach, then the coach needs to step up and do something. Now, Mike D'Antoni's been a hell of a coach all year long. He's the deserving coach of the year winner, already won one of the awards, and he'll almost assuredly win the media award that gets presented in June. But this was just a train wreck tonight, and the Rockets did a lot of things right. As I said, the energy, the defense, the rebounding was pretty good. I thought for the first 42 minutes they moved the ball well, but the lack of execution down the stretch just absolutely staggering. Now, you could argue that this is a game where they missed Nene, because certainly he only plays seven guys. It's clear that D'Antoni doesn't really trust any of the rest. So certainly, this was a game, I said yesterday that even though Nene on paper isn't really a big absence, you're probably going to have a game somewhere where even though Nene slows down the game to a crawl, you miss his ability to just make something out of nothing in a half-court setting. Well, yeah, this was one of those. Even though Clint Capela, I thought overall tonight he was pretty good. 9 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks in his 34 minutes. Certainly, you would have liked one more guy in the half-court that can create his own shot. Maybe you could have done that down the stretch or in overtime with Nene if he were there. But I'm not going to use that as an excuse because, well, any of those guys off the bench would have been upgrades over what we saw from the Rockets in the last 3 minutes of regulation and really the entire 5 minutes of overtime. We'll say the entire last 8 minutes of the game after the Rockets went up five with just under 3 minutes to go in regulation and only scored 8 points the rest of the way in those 8 minutes. Just abysmal production. And yeah, I'd like Nene, but I'm not going to use it as a cop-out because there are other guys on the bench. Montrezl Harrell has played a key role at points this year. Obviously, Sam Decker has. Bobby Brown, a professional scorer. We know his defensive limitations and his age. Certainly, he can put the ball in the bucket. I don't care who you have to turn to. That's a game where you can't be prideful. It's desperation time. The Rockets had a golden opportunity right in front of them, and they didn't get it done. And yeah, there were some awful officiating calls, too. If you follow me on Twitter, I called him out during the game because really, I think you should during the game. If you're going to call out officials, during the game is time to do it, because especially if it kind of trickles into the media coverage that's there at the site, or especially how the fans react that are there, or the players and coaches on the sidelines, then yeah, that outrage can do something. But the reality, yeah, there were some blown calls, and I thought especially the foul that Danny Green got with 30 seconds left was just a travesty. When he went into the bucket, finger roll that just snuck in, a tiny bit of contact. I mean, if you want to call it, I guess by the book you could say it's contact, but boy, James Harden got just raked across both arms possession before, no call, and really they let a ton of contact go on both ends the entire fourth quarter and overtime. So to see that call and that situation, very inconsistent. But folks, that's something you say during the game. I do believe in working the officials during the game because it helps you set up the call for the next time. I think how aggressive the Spurs fans were tonight, albeit misguided, that played a role in them getting some benefit of the doubt calls. But folks, I say that during the game as a competitor. You work the officials. Now in the aftermath, I'm not going to use that as an excuse now. That's BS. The Rockets had every opportunity to win this game. I don't care how tired they were. I don't care what the calls were. You scored, what, 13 points in the final 11 minutes, 8 points in the final 8 minutes. This is a Mike D'Antoni offense that thrives on playing with pace, and they voluntarily slowed it down, whether it's Harden's decision because he thinks it's right, whether it's Harden's decision because he's just that dead tired, whatever. It's up to him and Mike, especially Mike D'Antoni as the coach, to adjust. They have a system. It's pretty clear that the Rockets win in this series when they play with pace. That's certainly what they did for the first 42 minutes of this game. Really, you could even say the first 45, although it started slowing from about the 6-minute to the 3-minute mark. But they win when they play with pace. They lose when they let it grind it out, and they almost voluntarily grinded it out. And as I said, the real kicker of this, with Kawhi Leonard out injured, the Spurs shouldn't even have any transition defense. There's no rim protection. There's no guy you fear just swooping in for that crazy shot block out of nowhere. The Rockets had no excuse to do that. It was a golden opportunity to take a 3-2 lead going back to Houston with a chance to close it out, and they blew it. And it's just a huge failure all the way around. Now, the good news, I know you guys don't want to hear silver linings, but it's the truth. Folks, the balance of the game, I thought the Rockets actually played fairly well. Ryan Anderson off the bench, 19 points, 7 of 11 from the field. Harden overall, 33, 10, and 10. Beverly, 20 points on 6 of 10 shooting. It stings because the Rockets let it go. Capella, I mentioned his line earlier, 11 rebounds and 3 blocks in his 34 minutes, proved capable of bringing the energy, even playing extended minutes without Nene. There were a lot of individual positives in this game, and even with Kawhi Leonard in the game and playing relatively well, that's something you know that Leonard must be hurting, because 22 points, 15 boards, and 38 minutes, for him not to play down the stretch, you know that whatever is happening, it's a big deal. Is he going to be that much better in 2 days? I don't know. So there are a lot of individual positives. So should the Rockets be a favorite in Thursday's Game 6 in Houston? Yes, they should. And based on what I saw tonight, can the Rockets win a Game 7 in San Antonio on Sunday if they get there? Yes, they can. There is nothing logically that says the Rockets cannot still win this series. There were a lot of individual positives tonight, just an inexplicable offensive meltdown, really of their own doing, by boxing themselves in with the clock. There's nothing that says they should not be able, not just to compete, but beat the Spurs. On paper, I think the Rockets are the better team, and in a vacuum, any game. You can play it in Houston, San Antonio, you line up these same two teams, I'm picking the Rockets to win. So yes, there is a chance that they can win a Game 7. The downside, and this is going to be a different test, I thought Mike D'Antoni struggled tonight from a game management, a feel standpoint. There's going to be a different test the next 2 days, which is going to be psychology. There's not a lot of time, less than 48 hours before Game 6 tips on Thursday. In reality, as I said, there's lots of reasons for the Rockets to think they can still win this series, that they're the better team. They've been in a bad spot before. Hell, many, the leaders of this team, Harden, Beverly, Trevor Ariza, they had a shot against, they were down 3-1 to the Clippers 2 years ago, and they were able to work themselves back. We heard all sorts of negative stuff after they went out and got annihilated games 3 and 4 on the road, and they fought back. So they've shown mental resilience before. But this is going to be tested, because against a team like the Spurs, arguably the best head coach in the history of the game, MVP candidate in Kawhi Leonard, assuming he's able to play, and I'm sure they'll shoot him up with every medication under the sun to help get him ready, have all the heat, ice treatments, whatever else. But you only get so many chances to throw in the dagger in a series this big. I said on Twitter, it reminded me a lot of that Astros-Royals Game 4 from the 2015 playoffs, in which, yeah, they lost the game, but still, they were one win away from advancing. They had a Game 5 in Kansas City, and on paper, you can make an argument that, yeah, you go out there, Colin McHugh was pitching very well that year, and you can win that game. But emotionally, it is so tough to turn the page when you are that close and it somehow slips away. I'm not going to say they can't, because the Rockets did a hell of a good job all year at being mentally resilient. They were told in the preseason that they couldn't win 45 games, let alone 50 or 55. Yeah, they went out and won 55. James Harden should be the MVP of the league. I know some folks are going to say, well, he shouldn't after tonight. It's a regular season award, and Harden's 55 wins far supersede whatever Russell Westbrook did. So yeah, Harden should still be the MVP of the league. He proved them wrong. Mike D'Antoni, people wrote him off. He went out and had a Coach of the Year season. The Rockets, every time they lost two games, with one exception, that three-game losing streak, when two against the Warriors, and obviously Harden extraordinarily limited by the wrist. Every time the Rockets lost two in a row, they never lost three in a row. That's how committed they were. When they saw adversity, they responded every time. And so that's what makes me think that they have a chance. Their energy, their fight tonight was good. But this is going to be a different kind of adversity. This isn't just like a play harder type of thing. This is knowing deep down that, boy, you had a chance to land a knockout blow on a really great team and you missed it. It reminds me a little bit, to use an NBA analogy, of the Thunder Spurs from a year ago. The Thunder ended up winning that game in six. What ended up happening, the Thunder won a very close Game 5 in San Antonio, 95-91, before they just blew out the Spurs in Game 6. And that's what it felt like to me, that the entire time I expected the Rockets to grind it out. It was always going to be close because the Spurs, they play good defense. They know how to scrap. Greg Popovich is a great coach when it comes to making adjustments. And I always felt throughout the game the Rockets were going to find a way, win by two or three points, and then annihilate them in Game 6 because, well, the Spurs, they treated it like their last stand, and when the visiting team got it in that scenario, they had nothing left. If the Rockets had won tonight, I truly believe that's what would have happened. I truly believe they would have gone to Houston and won by 20-plus points and blown them away. This was tracking so similarly to the dynamics of that Spurs-Thunder series a year ago. Instead, you blew that opportunity. You gave the Spurs a psychological lift that deep down what they need to, even without Kawhi Leonard, they can dig deep and find a way. And you kind of created this doubt within yourself. And I don't care what they say, to have that kind of opportunity and repeatedly struggle to that extent, it's going to be with them. Obviously, James Harden is first on the list. But secondly, it goes back to what I said a couple of days ago after Game 3. If you don't have James Harden making those plays, who is? Eric Gordon, on paper, is probably your second best playmaker. He was 4 of 13 tonight, 1 of 6. Lou Williams off the bench, 3 of 10, 0 of 5 from 3. Where is that consistent secondary playmaking? If Harden is tired, or if for whatever reason he's just not executing, then okay, let somebody else have a try. Maybe they don't even have to shoot, just let them initiate the offense. They can create off the dribble. But no one tonight was consistently able late in the game to create their own offense off the dribble, and that ultimately caught up with the Rockets in a big way, that lack of a consistent secondary playmaker. I'm not going to make an excuse, because when you have the advantages they did tonight, shoot, you should be exhausting every option, and the Rockets definitely didn't do that. As I said, no one other than seven players even played, and this was a 53-minute game. So I'm not going to use it as an excuse, but the reality is that that's an issue they've been fighting all year long, and I did think it showed up a little bit down the stretch tonight. But anyway, looking at Game 6 and Game 7, that's the dynamic. All the stuff that we've been talking about. Yes, they know from an X's and O's standpoint, they can do it. They can beat this team anytime, any place. They're capable of doing it. But now there's a level of emotional doubt when the chips were down, even when they had things going in their favor. For whatever reason, all they needed was one shot. It felt like in overtime, no one could make a shot. And all it was going to take was one Rocket to step up in a huge spot, and no one could. So that's a real letdown, and that's a different kind of adversity than what the Rockets have faced throughout the season. Now, the fact they responded so well to other kinds of adversity, I do think that bodes fairly well. I do think that it gives them a fighting chance, but this is going to be tougher than anything. To turn around in less than 48 hours, have the commitment to know, hey, we could be closing out this series, should be closing out this game series, and are playing just to stay alive and get a Game 7 in overtime, where we then have to have a similarly great effort, because that's the real show. If the Rockets did have a great effort, I think they're going to be exhausted, because they played their butts off all night, and they're going to have to do that again in a Game 7, assuming they're able to win a Game 6. So that's a lot to take in, it's a lot to do over the next 48 hours, and it's going to be up to the leadership of the team, Mike D'Antoni and James Harden, to get it done. And so that's the good news. There is an opportunity for redemption. As much as it's stung, and as I said leading off, it's on both Harden and D'Antoni for their mistakes down the stretch repeatedly, time and time again. By the way, I haven't even mentioned it. James, 9 turnovers, in addition to boxing up from the clock when he did try and pass. They were telegraphed, and the Spurs were able to read it. Just some bizarre, bizarre decision-making all the way around. But yeah, they're the leaders of the team. James Harden, Mike D'Antoni, so they do have a chance to redeem themselves. They've got to think, first off, big picture, can this seven-man rotation work? And if it can't, okay, we've got to find minutes for someone else. Is it Sam Decker? Is it Montrezl Harrell? I don't know, but reduce the workload somewhere. Even if you want to do it in the second half, I said go into the game, I'd call it 7.5 minutes. Try and sneak Sam Decker some minutes in the first half, and they didn't do that. Maybe that's something you need to do. But beyond the X's and O's adjustment, it's mentally getting all of these guys ready to go on Thursday. It's a missed opportunity, but all hope is not lost. You win that game Thursday, and you can play this same Spurs team in that same gym on Sunday with everything to play for. So yeah, I get the stig. It sucks. It's a devastating loss. It's not a season-ending loss. I wouldn't say it looks good right now because I use the Astros example of 2015, but there's a lot of others, you know, that aren't quite as close to home. Generally, when a team takes that kind of a psychological blow in a huge spot, it's tough to recover. But you know what? These Rockets have proved everyone wrong all year. So who's to say now on the biggest stage that they can't do it one more time? As bad as I feel, I'm not going to count them out because they have earned that benefit of the doubt. And, well, we'll start seeing tomorrow in Houston at practice and, of course, Thursday in Game 6 because with a limited Kawhi Leonard, again, I doubt he will sit. But for him to be limited enough not to play, you know that he is severely bothered by whatever is going on. Rockets should be big favorites in Game 6, and then you go back to Game 7, where the dynamics should be very similar to tonight. Just go out there, execute the same defensive game plan, hopefully make a few more threes. Thought they were, that's what stalled. They ended up being 16 of 48, but God, they had some wide open looks early. It didn't go when they had a chance to build that lead even bigger. But yeah, suck it up tonight, and then hopefully the Rockets, the fan base, everything can rally by Thursday. It's going to be a tall order, but as I said, they've done it all season long, responding to adversity. This is the biggest challenge yet against a great opponent in the Spurs, but they can still do it. And, well, however bad we feel now about this knot in the pit of our stomachs, I feel it. I know you guys feel it, too. Hopefully they're able to prove us wrong yet again because, folks, if I had told you they'd be where they are now back in October, I doubt many of you guys would have believed me. So while it's frustrating, don't give up on them. Let's give them one more chance, and hopefully Thursday at Toyota Center, they come out with the commitment necessary to force a Game 7, and then once you get back to San Antonio, well, it's the chance for redemption to basically see dynamics tonight, but go out and finally shut the door for good and hopefully advance to the Western Conference Finals. So with that said, don't know what else to say, so I will wrap it there. Again, if you made it through this 20-plus minute podcast, I appreciate it. I know a lot of you guys, no one wants to talk about the Rockets right now. That was incredibly not fun, devastating. I'm right there with you. Incredibly harsh, but, you know, season is not over. There's still plenty to play for. So, yeah, tomorrow I think we'll be back to talking a little more X's and O's as we get ready to Thursday, what adjustments they can make. Tonight, I know this was less broad than usual. Usually we try to do an overall recap of the broader numbers, contextualizing, stuff like that. I'm not trying to do that tonight because I know no one wants to talk big picture. We all want to talk. It was a huge emotional letdown. I know how devastated everybody feels. So tonight, you know, it's healthy. Let's get it out of our system, lick our wounds, and then, you know, we'll be back to normal basketball X and O's coverage tomorrow and Thursday. So anyway, look forward to talking with you more on the basketball side next couple of days. Had to vent and get all that off my chest tonight. Thanks to all of y'all for listening. If you're not already following me on Twitter, you can do that at Ben Dubose. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. Email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to us if you aren't already. We've had 200-plus episodes over the last 9 months. Try and bring this to you on a daily basis, and sometimes even more than that in the playoffs. But iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, wherever you subscribe to media, just search for Locked On Rockets or, well, any NBA or NFL team across the Locked On Podcast Network, and you can find all of our episodes. As I said, we've been a daily show throughout this entire Rockets run, going back to last July, and, well, I hope to be doing it, well, certainly the show a while longer, but post-game episodes for more than one or two more games, but, well, that's all in the Rockets' hands. So, anyway, with that said, I will leave it right there. As I said, everybody tonight, go and lick your wounds, and then tomorrow, we'll turn our focus to Game 6 and what the Rockets need to do to get that win, prolong the series, and get it back to San Antonio with a chance on Sunday to redeem themselves. So for now, have a good evening.